AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In a few hours, the rematch begins, the first debate of the 2024 presidential campaign. ABC's Rachel Scott with more on why it's a first in a lot of ways.
So there will be no studio audience. The candidates' microphones will also only be turned on when it is their turn to speak. You have two of the oldest candidates in history to ever compete for the White House. This will also be the first time we were seeing a sitting president of the United States debate a former president of the United States. And of course, you have this conviction of former President Donald Trump. All of that is going to make this debate something unlike anything we've ever seen before.
The Supreme Court will issue more rulings today. They have 10 to go before the end of their term. A Boeing whistleblower alleging that holes were drilled in the wrong places on the 787 planes when they were being manufactured. Boeing says it did a thorough review and found there were no safety issues. A pair of giant pandas on their way to the San Diego Zoo as part of a continuing conservation partnership between the U.S. and China. This isn't. Israel and the U.S. apparently settling the dispute over American weapons shipments. Israel's prime minister had accused the U.S. of withholding the weapons, but officials now say they have worked through what were misunderstandings. An attempted coup shut down in Bolivia.
Flares going up in celebration while flags being waved. Supporters of the government expressing their relief that the coup failed. Armored vehicles earlier rammed the front doors of the government palace. President Arce directly confronted Army Commander Zuniga face to face. The military chief now arrested. The Bolivian government is a big supporter of the Global South and has applied for membership in the growing independent BRICS trade group. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Up for auction today, a collection of items that once belonged to Princess Diana. It's the largest collection of her belongings to go up for sale since 1997, actually. Includes gowns, accessories, and keepsakes. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This year has gone by so fast. Are you keeping track of your accomplishments? When was the last time you took a moment to celebrate your wins? When life goes by so fast, it can be easy to lose track of your goals and feel like you're spinning out of control. That's where BetterHelp comes in. Therapy can help you take a look at your progress and set realistic goals for the next 6 months. Therapy is for everyone, because everyone deserves to be the best version of themselves. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's totally online, convenient, and flexible. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime. Take a moment. Visit BetterHelp.com/ABC Radio today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ABC Radio.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit WISCAP.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A youth counselor at the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison in northern Wisconsin is dead. Corey Pruhl was one of two employees allegedly attacked by a 16-year-old inmate Monday night. Problems at Lincoln Hills go back several years. A new youth prison in Milwaukee is in the works. The latest Marquette University Law School poll is out with how Wisconsin is leaning in the race for president.
You'll be shocked to know it's a close race. We have the presidential race at 50-50 this time with registered voters.
Poll director Charles Franklin says President Biden has a 2-point lead over Donald Trump with likely voters. Franklin says Republicans are more enthusiastic about voting for Trump than Democrats are for Biden. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks add another guard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. First round of the NBA draft last night, and with the 23rd pick, the Bucks selected A.J. Johnson, a 6'5" guard out of California who's just 19 years old. I asked Bucks GM John Horst if this is just another prospect to add to the roster.
When you get in that part of the draft, the assessment we had to make is here's a handful of guys that are win now. Here's a handful of guys that maybe have a higher development curve or a longer runway. I think he's a combination of both.
Baseball, the Brewers' Andrew Monasterio comes through with an RBI single to win the game 6-5 over the Rangers yesterday. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Of course, we're happy for the team, but so happy for Mona. He's working every day. He's always got a smile. He's in a great, has a great attitude every day. So the team pulls for him.
Former Packers receiver Randall Cobb and his family narrowly escaping their Nashville home at night after a fire started in their garage, believed to be ignited by an electric charger to their Tesla. Cobb saying they're lucky to be alive. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 75 this afternoon. The wind out of the east to southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. High tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 56.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm and Superior, Wisconsin 4th of July Parade Coordinator Carolyn Nelson Cavias.
It's going to be a great show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee. They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
All right. We're talking about gas stoves this morning.
Yeah. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy.
We're going to solve the controversy over gas stoves.
Okay.
I want to first preface this.
Okay.
My dad worked for Wisconsin Gas Company.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He was a foreman there for all his life.
Yeah.
And so we had gas stoves in our home.
Yeah.
And can you imagine? That's probably why I think the way I think today. I was
think there was some leakage in those gas stoves.
A little bit too much
over
of
the
those
years.
Fumes.
Yeah.
And now they're just trying to control how much of those fumes will be
emitting,
exhausted into your own home.
Yeah.
While you're cooking, all right, or while it's off.
Okay.
It has, you know, self-starters now.
Right.
It's a regulation. They're not trying to phase out gas stoves. They're just trying to control how much gas is released into the home. That's it.
That's all.
It's not a horrible thing to do. No. I think a lot of people can agree, yeah, we don't want pollution in our home
right.
as well as outside our home. Yeah.
Safety first.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. That's
so
fine.
That's what happens here. That's the point of all of this. And this is in reaction to a guest we had on the show. It was Scott Klug. He has a podcast called Lost in the Middle.
Right here on Civic Media.
Right.
Yeah.
And he thought they were banning them. And I was going to play this cut for him if we ever had him in as a guest.
Well, he's probably, he might be listening.
I was tired of waiting.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so we heard, you know, that the first guest that we heard from here in this cut I have said that, you know, it's a way to phase it out and all that kind of stuff. Now, we've got another reaction to it, so let's go on with this track that I brought in.
All right.
And the other side of it. Let's listen.
Okay. Effectively, Paul, it's a ban on any kind of stove you might actually want to buy, and you'll be left with a version that's more like today's dishwashers and washing machines that don't really do the job that they're meant to do.
They actually do.
Now, Kyle, this is the rule by regulation, right?
Right, and you pretend you're not doing it right up until about 5 seconds before you do it. I mean, this is a national ban on gas stoves is not on the table. It's under the table, ready to be pulled out at any moment.
No.
And I think you also have to look up for the The real motivations here at states that are doing similar things that are stopping gas hookups.
New York State, yeah.
Right, in new residential buildings. And so I think the people who say that there's not a movement against natural gas, which, remember, a lot of people use not only for cooking, but to heat their homes, to heat their water, for their washers and dryers. I think the idea that there is not a progressive movement against that has a real credibility problem.
Dan, any chance that these Republican bills, which got so many Democratic votes in the House, could have a chance in the Senate?
The climate left is just sort of determined to get to their goals, and they're going to do it any way they can, and that includes things like a de facto ban on gas stoves, and one wonders whether backyard grills are going to be next.
Oh, sure.
Backyard grills?
Unbelievable.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
They're going to go after those?
That LP. I've just, you know... It is surreal to listen to these people talk, about the environmental radical left. Of course,
controlling.
If you look at a map of
everything.
The nation and the weather and the heat waves and the power outages and the disasters and the flooding and the rain.
Heat.
We don't have a problem.
Mm. Yeah.
Or climate problem
change?
At all.
No.
No.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's all.
And
it'll
who cares?
All sort itself out.
Who cares
out.
What people have in their home, whether they are dying from exhaust from their gas stoves or not? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing is, the guy actually, made the argument for gas, and that is it heats or hot water usually.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have electric water heaters now, which are really, really cool.
Yeah.
On demand water heaters,
right.
Which I want to get next.
Yeah.
I want to get one of those.
They're pretty cool. I saw one of them. They're very small.
Yeah,
too.
They're very
it's
small.
Like the size of a backpack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of neat.
It is.
So I hope to get one of those eventually and get rid of gas completely. Yes, I want to ban gas.
Well, wait a minute. Now, which side are you on? You're tap dancing all around this.
Yeah.
Have either of you ever seen a thermal camera side by side of like a gas stove versus an electric stove?
No.
Well, gas stoves are like wicked inefficient because like you got this burner underneath like your pot or pan, right?
Okay.
And all of the heat just like kind of goes around it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of it like hits the bottom of the pan, obviously, but a lot of it just goes around it because it's hot air moving around whatever you're cooking with. If you're cooking on like a glass top stove, a lot more of it goes to the pan, or if you're cooking with like an induction cooker, all of it goes into the metal of whatever you're cooking
with. Induction cooking is the way to go.
Is that what you have?
No, I don't have that yet. We just have a regular electric glass top.
Mm-hmm.
But the inductive is the way to go in the home.
Okay.
You don't want to do that in a restaurant.
No.
They do want gas stoves in restaurants because that's where they have to have them.
Yeah.
So they're not banning
them. That's
what
the chef's like, right?
That has to happen there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a commercial exemption for gas stoves.
If Chef Johnny is fine without his home gas stove, you can be as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad we didn't get the gas stove now because of the pollution.
Mm.
Possible pollution.
You'll have to come over to my place, the place
you
just
have
waited.
A gas stove
I
now
have a gas
in your new
stove,
place. Yeah.
And I'm still learning how to use it a little bit. The only problem
you turn
with
it on, Gordy. What
well,
do
that,
you mean?
It's fine. That part I don't have any problem with. That part is fine. I have trouble with it's like an early digital timer thing.
Oh.
Early digital?
Yes.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I got to spin the wheel and then put the time in, then I got to push the button, and I have yet to figure this out. I've tried everything I can figure out to just set the timer, and it says set timer 1, there's set timer 2. I only want one timer. I don't need set timer 2. It doesn't make any logical sense at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go get on YouTube and look at a tutorial for this model of stove just to learn how to run the timer. It's crazy.
Just get a $20 or $25 Alexa device.
Okay. Really? That's
the
timer?
Just say, Alexa, set the timer for 20 minutes.
Really? Should I do
that?
And
it goes off and it alarms you at that 20-minute mark.
Okay.
And you don't need the timers that they have on stoves anymore. You just don't need it.
Just get an Alexa.
You reckon Alexa
rather than what's the other one?
Just for that.
Just for that?
Yeah.
Okay. $25, you're saying?
Well, yeah, they're really inexpensive.
You're just a shill for Amazon, aren't you?
Yeah, okay.
it's so easy.
That's fine.
You don't have to do anything
anymore. That's fine. That's a good solution.
Rather than
mess around with this thing, I can't figure it out at all.
Yeah, I used to have a under-the-counter timer,
all right.
Which was very loud, and that's why I bought it.
Now.
But now I just use the Alexa.
Now, the other thing I'm having trouble with in this house, again, it's a, I'm just moved in. Is there's a digital thermostat.
Oh.
That takes programming to schedule, you know, when the air conditioning's on, when it's off. I still have yet to figure that out. Oh. I've got to get the... Sam, why don't you come over to the house? You can instruct
me. Is it anything like the one that we have here?
It's just like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's exactly like that.
It even took me like a few days to figure out how to program it here.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have the manual, it's like, I have no idea how to...
I've got a smart screen on my thermostat now. It's a touch screen, and it's really nice. It actually works together with the AC and the furnace, and it controls the humidity. It doesn't turn the cooling on. It just dehumidifies the air in the house in order to adjust the temperature there. And it's really smart, and it saves a hell of a lot of energy.
Does it?
Yeah. Okay. It's a smart one, and I can control it right from here in the studio.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's
On your watch?
Yeah.
On your watch?
Not my watch.
Come on, your space age watch, your Jetsons watch won't do that for you?
No, it won't.
Come on, it does everything.
It does.
It cooks, it cleans, it's a dessert topping, it's a floor cleaner.
It's a floor cleaner.
You can do anything.
It's a floor wax.
I wonder if Ed sells those watches
Ed's got those watches on sale right now, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, well, you can. I can do anything I want with this damn app that I have for my thermostat at home.
That's
I can control it from anywhere in the world.
Well, you can come over and help me with my thermostat.
Well, I think, you know, if it's similar to the one here,
you know what? You're right. I don't
want
you coming over to my house. Sam, well, come over to my place.
That's right. I'm completely banned from your house now because I can't.
Well, you're Mr. Know-it-all. You come
thermostat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody, Danny Madison, texted in manual, ..
Well,
Gordy, or hashtag Gordy Old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Manual. Well, you know, how else am I going to figure it out? You got to have a manual for everything,
really,
right?
No, really, seriously. You really
have to get a
cheap Alexa device right next
fine.
In the kitchen and
That's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about getting one anyway.
Yeah,
just
good.
To talk to somebody at my place. They're all alone. I don't have a dog yet. I might as well get an Alexa. She'll talk back to me occasionally.
Well, you know, remember in New York,
they're
giving away robotic dogs for companionship.
For older people?
Yes.
They should have a thing like that in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I need a robotic dog.
Well, you got such a small yard now.
Well, that's the problem.
You know, it's
the
all cement.
It is. They paved over the backyard. It had a little backyard, but now there's just a little patch of grass. It's seriously, it's only the size
cement
of a doormat.
Cement is so much easier to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need as much weed killer.
But now
that.
I need some patio furniture with some. There's no shade back there because they paved
that's
over.
That's true.
So there's a big apartment building right next door, so that kind of blocks out the sun, but it's not where I need it.
But they can watch you. They can watch everything you're doing back there. So that hot tub that you were thinking about.
I was thinking about
that. Not going to work.
Hot tub. Do they even make hot tubs anymore?
Yes, they do.
You just got to put something in your backyard that will make people not want to look back there.
Yeah. And that is go out there in your swimsuit.
Yeah, that's
they do. Yeah. They make inflatable ones.
I don't want a hot tub. Why would I?
No, it's a really cool one. They have really cool ones now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you going to get one?
Well, no, we were thinking about it, putting it in the basement. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But no, we're not going to get it.
I just think it's
It's too expensive.
It's too expensive. You know, I don't know.
Do you really get
a lot of use out of those? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it.
And we've got a special guest coming up.
Yes, we do. Jim Santel is coming in. And we're going to talk, you know, all these Supreme Court cases. They're ready to make big decisions.
I've been chomping at it's hard for me to hold back. I want to talk about these cases that came out. There's like three of them.
And there's a bunch more to come.
One that slipped out accidentally.
Yes.
And then there's another one that slipped out accidentally for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Oh, boy. All right.
So we'll have Jim, and we'll be talking about all of those cases here on the program in the next half hour.
That's right. Yeah. And also coming up, Brittany Merlot with an update on what's expected weather-wise for today and looking ahead into the weekend. It's all coming up on the John and Gordy Show for a Thursday morning right here on 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Matinee on Air.
Gordy here from the Mad Radio Morning Show. When you text us at Civic Media, our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial in Madison, chosen by 80% of Fortune 500 manufacturers in the United States that want to package with less.
rocketindustrial.com.
When you're having computer problems, you need a company you trust to get things working again quickly and affordably. Madison Computer Works has been doing that for business and residential customers for decades. Our computer care plans take away the hassle of being without your computer or needing to bring it in for repair. Starting at only $10 a month, our local and friendly techs provide remote help and can fix most problems in just minutes. Call 608-231-8000 and sign up today. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
Max Inc. Radio.
From Puerto Rico to Wisconsin, Tara's sultry songwriting showcases her life. She's in studio for a live Saturday night concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, rocker and Jimmy K.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
If it is bad.
All right.
This is Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, broadcasting live from State Street, Madison.
Sunshine today.
Gordy Show.
Yeah. Highs today in the low to mid-70s. We got Brittany Merlot standing by, but first let's go to the phones on the John Gordy hotline.
Tommy's got an electric water heater. Tom, yeah. You got to fill us in on this thing, okay?
Yeah. Tell us.
Like so many new technologies, they're not quite as good as you think. We had one at work that was put in 2015, mm-hmm. and it only lasted like a year and a half, and it was like $2,000.
Wow.
Not like $300 or $400 like a typical water heater.
Yeah.
And when it worked, it took a lot of power, and you did not get the hot water right away. It took about 5 minutes.
Well, that's not good.
It came in all the way. Yeah, I mean, it's not instant.
Yeah.
But the thing is, real short life. I'm not sure if it cooked the water inside and it started like to rust through the inside or something.
Yeah.
We had a lot of like calcium in our water, but they finally got rid of it after going through two of them, and I went back to just.
Now,
the regular water
system. Now, Tom, you mentioned that it cost about $2,000. Now, I've done a little research on this. I was looking into it for my home, and they have different levels of water heaters, and there are some that, you know, have a warranty for a year or 3 years or something real small, and then others have limited lifetime warranties, and those do cost about $2,000, but I would assume that they last and don't go as quickly as the one that you had at work. So I don't know. Maybe it's just the kind of water heater, electric on-demand water heater that you had. The question I had is, do you know if it was exhausted? It needed an exhaust? Or was it exhaust-free?
Electric.
Yeah.
It was electric. I don't think it had an exhaust.
Okay.
I think it was electric.
All right.
And also, you had to run like... It was like 240 volts also, so you had to make sure you you had to upgrade your electric too. You have to like 100 amp service.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, you know, the promise the promise with solar and wind is that it should bring down the energy costs dramatically, but right now we're paying for that infrastructure, so the costs are really high right now. So we got to wait and wait and wait. So, all right. Well, it's a warning. It's a warning sign. Watch out for those electric on-demand water heaters still. Okay.
Yeah, right. You better get the lifetime warranty one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that might be a different way of doing it.
Good
okay,
deal.
Tom, thank you. We've got Brittany Merlot.
Tom.
We did.
Tom, thank you for that call.
Until just a moment ago.
Oh.
We lost her.
So what happened, John? You bumped the camera this morning in the studio, and so it disconnected. And when I reconnected it, it reconnected the mic in there. So
that's where the echo
we
was
had
coming.
A little echo
but
when
here
we
she
were
is
testing.
Now.
We're back with Brittany. Okay.
No, it's not Brittany's fault. It's ours. It's ours.
It was on our end.
All right.
Oh,
she's gone again.
She was here.
Oh, no.
Now she's gone.
How is that happening?
I don't know.
It's magic.
All right. Well, I can tell you, sunshine today, highs around 74 degrees. Looks good for today. Maybe some rain moving in Friday night. And are you okay over there? You got a Kleenex? You want a Kleenex, Todd?
What happened, John?
We're having all kinds of technical difficulties.
No, I'm trying.
Do you have a little hay fever or something?
I'm just trying not to sneeze.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the old age, but every time I sneeze, I got to sneeze about eight other times after that.
It wasn't like that?
No,
in your younger years?
You just sneeze and you're done, you know? Yeah. Now it's just like, you know, eight or nine after that.
All right.
I'm tired of this.
Are we efforting to reconnect with Brittany, or are we moving on?
We're workshopping.
We're workshopping.
Well, why don't you workshop?
Let's run it around the table.
I want to get something else.
Run it up the flagpole.
I want to try something else here. While you're working, could you look up Cut 63 for Samsung phone?
Is it 63 or 163? 63 Samsung phone.
I've got a retro ad here.
Okay.
And I thought this is kind of cool. This is part of Media World. All right. We're still kind of continuing it here.
Okay.
And do you have it? All right. Let's listen to this old ad. And they're promoting for the very first time a Samsung phone with an MP3 player on
it.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
really?
Come on. All right.
Yes, the music is coming from this cell phone. It's the country's first MP3 wireless phone called the Uproar. It's from Sprint, PCS, and Samsung.
This is not a radio player. You can use your own CDs, and you can download from them there. And there's also a variety of sites on the Internet where you can also download music.
Wow.
Now, there is software that comes with the Uproar.
Imagine that.
It'll allow you to take the music right from your home CD and put it right onto the phone.
Oh,
the company is also offering a website called My Music, and it has incredible storage power. The Uproar will allow you to store up to 64 megabytes, or just over an hour of music.
Wow.
Even if someone wants to call you while you're listening to music, they can. A remote lets you pause the music, take your call, and pick up right where you left off. In addition to the music, the wireless phone allows wireless access to the web and serve as a personal organizer.
Wow.
Most of the new exciting things that are being available, particularly over the Christmas season, are a little more on the tech side. And I think people are crossing over that boundary and getting rid of some of those fears just so that they can enjoy what the rest of the world's got.
Yeah.
The new Uproar 4-in-1 phone will be available in stores next Monday. It will retail for $399.
What a deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
For an MP3 player.
Yeah. And you can pause it and pick up a phone call. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah. Store up to an hour of music.
I know. It's
That's
amazing,
incredible.
Isn't it? 64 megs.
Yeah. Wow. What year do you suppose that was? How many, like a
that
couple?
That was 2000.
That was?
Yeah.
Oh, 24 years ago. Okay.
It's amazing. Now, you know, right. We've got, what, 128 gigabytes?
I don't know. It just seems
All right.
Incredible.
Anyway, that kind of filled in, and we have a problem connecting.
With Brittany
Merlot.
StreamYard seems to be acting weird on our end today.
Oh, okay.
Ever since you've touched that camera, John.
Yeah,
this
John.
This hasn't been
gosh.
Acting right.
It's not me.
Don't mess with
it's
the
not
camera.
Me, I didn't do this. Don't blame
I think
me.
You did. It was working fine before.
Okay, let's try another Media World story here, everybody.
Okay.
Before we get to Jim Santelman, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court cases.
Oh. Hold it. Time out. Brittany, we've got you reconnected, finally.
Yay.
Say whatever you're going to say really quick.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes here. Give us the weather. Tell us what's happening. It's beautiful today, right?
Beautiful, beautiful day. That's really all I have to say.
Okay, thanks. Great. Thanks for joining us, Brittany. Have a great day.
I finally have good news, and you won't even let me on. No,
yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, so what is happening here weather-wise? Got rain
honestly,
maybe Friday?
Yeah, we could see some rain moving in by Friday morning for us. And then, of course, that could come back again Friday night. I do think a good chunk of Friday afternoon is going to be dry, which is some scattered showers out there. So nothing too crazy. No severe weather expected. Just about a quarter of an inch to a half an inch of rain, which our rivers don't need.
Right.
That's the only big downfall. That's okay. it. But otherwise, the weekend's dry and gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the temperatures on the weekend? What are we thinking?
Dry weather or is it going, low humidity?
Yeah.
You know what? Yes. We're going to hit about 80 degrees on Saturday. And then for Sunday, we're looking at those low to mid 70s. So quite cool on Sunday.
Fantastic.
All right.
Well,
thank you, Brittany.
Thanks for the good news and hanging in there.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Glad we got our technical glitches taken care of. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Yeah. All right.
Technical glitches during Media World.
I know.
Wow.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we've got Jim Santel. We're going to talk about those Supreme Court decisions that are pending. It's all coming up on the John and Gordy Show on WMDX.
As we were saying, it's the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying.
listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 18 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. Go to freedomfireworkswi.com.
Lately, the weather is what everyone's focused in on, including Wisconsin farmers. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. But what's coming our way in July? Good question, and one that we asked of Bridget Mason. She's an assistant state climatologist and explains what she sees weather-wise coming our way next month.
So it looks like to end out June, begin July, we're expecting to continue seeing an active weather pattern. You know, over the next 7 days or so, you may see upwards of 2 inches if you're in the south central or southeastern parts of Wisconsin. But it looks like most everyone will see at least a half inch over the next 7 days. Looking into July over the next 2 weeks or so, it looks like we're leaning toward warmer than normal conditions and possibly wetter than normal. We do have a slight risk for excessive rainfall amounts in place for all of Wisconsin between July 2nd and 8th.
Not the news a lot of Wisconsin farmers want to hear. That's Bridget Mason. She is the assistant state climatologist. She said the weather patterns in Wisconsin have been odd, even by weather standards. Preliminary results from the National Weather Service show the state has seen 10 tornadoes just in the last week.
Introducing Certain Herbicide, the latest corn innovation from BASF. It brings powerful PPO residual chemistry into a pre-through early post application thanks to novel solid encapsulation technology. Apply from pre-plant to V3 and get up to 8 weeks of residual control or suppression of 79 broadleaf and grass weed species. Don't chase weeds all through the season. Attack them before they emerge with Certain Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Water hemp, Palmer amaranth, and giant ragweed. Left undisturbed, they will become the most dangerous foes to corn plants. But in the early season, these weeds are at their weakest. Now is the time. A predator lurks. Certain Herbicide attacks, unleashing full residual power before weeds have a chance to emerge. Pre or early post application, they are hopeless against such effective chemistry. Certain Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, the 4th of July weather forecast from Bridget Mason may not be ideal. The good news is you'll spend a little less this year for your 4th of July picnic. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's latest market basket survey shows the cost of 12 food items for your summer cookout, hosting 10, comes in at about $66.38. That's down about a half a percentage point compared to last year. If you break it down by per plate cost, that means you're feeding everyone for an average of less than $7 per person. That's a quick update on what's happening literally in food news on a Thursday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 75 this afternoon. The wind out of the east to southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. High tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
It's that time of year again. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 18 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we get you ready for the presidential debate. Biden v. Trump. Everything you want to know right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
From the Civic Media Mothership, it's the John and Gordy Show.
That's it.
It is the family show and a beautiful, beautiful Thursday morning. And and so many things to talk about this morning still.
All over.
The Supreme Court has been releasing a whole bunch of decisions that are so controversial and so ridiculous and in many ways temporary.
Well, it's crunch time. They got to get all these decisions out before they take a break, right?
But they're making decisions that, you know, allow for somebody else to bring another case and maybe even reverse some of the decisions that we're actually getting today. And we've got Jim Santel on the line right now. He hosts Amicus, a law review on the weekend on Saturday morning. Jim, let's get into the first thing here, and that is the Supreme Court allowing a gratuity, a legal bribery after the fact. This is one of the most amazing decisions ever.
It is curious. It is what we call a head scratcher, right?
Right.
And here's the only maybe non-serious part of this is that the statute under which this is James Snyder. He's a former mayor of a place called Portage, Indiana. We drive right through it and run the expressway there in northern Indiana. He is allegedly and was convicted for accepting a $13,000 check in return for some municipal trash truck contracts.
Right.
And he's charged under 18 U.S.C. Yes, that's right. 666. That's the number of the statute. Again, it gets more serious after that.
Okay.
And he is convicted of this under this statute, which is used generally. I used it. And for what it's worth, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, this comes from our circuit, three-judge panel there looks at this and says, yes, no problem. This is plainly a bribe under the statute, violated the law. We were affirming the judgment below. Comes up to the Supreme Court, and then you've got Brett Kavanaugh, 6-3 majority, saying, well, it prescribes bribes to state and local officials. Doesn't make it a crime, he tells us, for those officials to accept gratuities for their past acts, exactly what you just said. And you know how you make that distinction? I think prosecutors around the country right now are wondering how you make that. But again, it's now the law of the land. So when it comes to this often used statute, we now have to figure out what the difference is between a gratuity after the fact and a bribe before the fact.
Before the fact.
Oh, boy.
That is so crazy, and the fact that this mayor was in debt, he was going bankrupt, and he needed some money quick, and he went to the this dealer and got this $13,000 check to bail him out a little, essentially, because he had done them favors to get their dealership accepted into the city. So he got this check, and for Alito to come up with this incredibly weird interpretation that if it's after the fact, it's not bribery, is just stunning. I don't, you know, you've really got to have some mental agility to be able to come up with something this crazy, right?
Right. And the two of you are articulating exactly what three dissenters said, which is, of course, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Elena Kagan, and Sonia Sotomayor. Not only scratching their heads, but saying the majority has got this just plain wrong. And basically, it's a big, huh? What are we doing here? And again, it's much more articulate than that. But that's the takeaway from this case. Snyder versus United States, again, comes out of the Seventh Circuit. One of only two cases coming out of our circuit. And they reversed the Seventh Circuit, which traditionally has been pretty good on these kinds of things. And again, the big takeaway is you've got a lower court judgment based upon the facts. You've got an appellate court that looked at all this and said, no problem here. Our Supreme Court put a whole new gloss on this often used statute that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I have this comment from MSNBC in regards to this. Let's listen real quick to that.
This one's cartoonish, I gotta say.
Yeah, so according to Brett Kavanaugh and the conservative, it's only bribery if it comes from the Bribery region of France, right?
Good line.
Everything else is just sparkling corruption, according to these people. But when you bring out not just this case, but all of the cases that the court has done, over Roberts' tenure to weaken public corruption laws. I like to think of it, you know, like a gang. And like for the initiate, the new initiate, he also has to steal a purse, right? If you have a corrupt cops, they take the money and then all of everybody has to share. Everybody's implicated. So there's no accountability for everybody. So everybody has their hands dirty. And that's what the Supreme Court is trying to do. They're trying to make it seem like everything in politics is dirty. Everybody is dirty.
This is just
everybody
politics.
Yeah. And the thing is, of course, our justices are getting payments as well. They're getting gifts like crazy. And this kind of justifies their gift getting, right?
Right.
This whole case.
Right. It's the same kind of thing generally, obviously different focuses in different locations here, but it does make you wonder, what is the motivation to do this? Is there something beyond just the interpretation of the statute that compels this very peculiar result? And again, changes the way that we'll prosecute cases in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. It's no small case, Snyder, and again, it falls under the radar because of all these other cases. That's a big deal. And the Supreme Court has just kicked in the shins the prosecutors around the country.
Right, just an amazing decision.
So what are some of the other cases that are pending here?
We're going to get into the next one. We're moving into the next one here. The Supreme Court allows the White House to press social media companies to remove disinformation. Now, this is like a no-brainer thing, right? You know, the FBI may continue to urge social media platforms to take down content the government views as misinformation, handing the Biden administration a big, successful story. But here, Alito and Clarence Thomas and Gorsuch wrote in dissent, the court thus permits the successful campaign of coercion in this case to stand as an attractive model for future officials who want to control what people say, hear, and think. And that's regrettable. It was a blatantly unconstitutional, and the country may come to regret this court's decision. The thing is, it's not coercion. It is a suggestion to these companies who also have their own rules and regulations about content that they can't go on and just lie and make up stories and post this stuff. I mean, that's part of their company. Administrative rules. So we have, obviously, these guys think it's coercion and it's going to be censorship and they're going to stop people from saying anything. Can you imagine a media that is allowed to lie just blatantly without any consequences whatsoever? Right, Jim?
Right. And you've got it just right. Once again, you've got a group of dissenters who are actually intellectually dishonest about this. This is not coercion on the facts. There's no threat going on here. There's another case called Vulo in which there were some threats being made. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, that government can't do. Mm-hmm. Here you've got the Biden administration calling up and saying, you know, that stuff you've got online about how horse poison will cure COVID-19. And oh, by the way, the 2020 election was stolen. Those things are not only misinformation, they're inaccurate. They're contrary to the health concerns of our group, our communities generally. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, during the course of the oral argument on this one, both the Chief Justice and Brett Kavanaugh, who are again not in the dissenting group, said, what are we talking about here? When we were in the White House, we did this all the time. We picked up the phone and said, gee, we're looking at an editorial that doesn't make sense to us. Time immemorial, mm-hmm. a government has done a call and say, you know what? I think you need to rethink this, not to say you're coercing them, as the dissenters say, but just you're calling out situations where the information is inaccurate, overtly so, and nothing wrong with that at all. Thankfully, the majority gets it right in this case called Murthy versus Missouri. But again, to our previous point, what are we talking about here? This is a big case in front of the Supreme Court because we're reaffirming the right of government to engage, again, not coercively, with journalists and social media providers. That's what our system is all about. We talk to each other. We object to things that we say. That's what America is all about. And somehow we had to have the imprimatur of the Supreme Court to say, yeah, you can continue to do that in this major case just decided yesterday.
Right. And it's actually controlling, moderating content on all of these social platforms. That's what it's all about. And the Supreme Court, at least the dissenters, would definitely have said, hey, yeah, you can do that. What the heck? You know, we don't want to stifle any kind of free speech at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the other piece of this. You've got, these are private companies, plainly, the social media providers. They do, it may come as a surprise, not to your listeners, but to other people, maybe the dissenters. They do content moderation all the time. And I know that sounds kind of Orwellian, but the reality is you've got people inside these companies that are looking at postings and saying, you know what? This is racist. This is misogynistic. Mm-hmm. This is inappropriate in so many different ways. We need to take it down. And oh, by the way, here's a set of things that are affirmatively wrong that are going to hurt people if they believe it. Content moderation inside these groups happens all the time. This is not an unusual thing. Again, government calling it to the attention of those folks is most appropriate and actually protects us and makes us better.
We're talking with Jim Santel, attorney, and I want to ask about these leaks out of the Supreme Court. Yeah. There was one out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and also one out of the U.S. Supreme Court. What was the leak from the Supremes?
The federal court.
The Supreme Court.
And that was a federal emergency medical care statute, right?
This is a big one that may be officially released today in about an hour or so, or maybe tomorrow, we don't know. But this is the other big abortion case, and it has to do with whether or not federal law or state law applies. Idaho's got a law that says no abortions, basically no abortions in our state. A federal law that says to stabilize the health of the mother, it is not only permissible but required for clinics and medical providers to do this. So there's a conflict between these two things. You have a supremacy clause that basically says the federal stuff supersedes the state. And there was some real dispute during the course of the oral argument. So what happened yesterday was, in the midst of these other two being announced, my view is somebody in the clerk's office there pressed the wrong button and released this thing early. Oops. It appears to be the real case, and we'll see it when it does come out. And the good news here, I suppose, is it appears to be 6-3 opinion, finding that indeed the federal law does apply. And that indeed that you can provide life-saving, life-sustaining abortions around the country, including in Idaho. So the result may be good. We've got a glitch here. I don't put this in the same category as the what I'll call the Alito document draft release a couple of years ago, or this other thing that just happened in our own state Supreme Court, also having to do with its taking a case in the voting area. Those both indicate to me that there is somebody doing something intentionally and purposefully, and doing this in a way to get some information out there with respect to our state Supreme Court. The Chief Justice and Ed Ziegler has said, we're doing an investigation. We're trying to figure out how this happened. And it's no small matter. It should be this focus of inquiry there. It should have been the focus of better inquiry a couple of years ago. You may recall that the Chief Justice then, when the Dobbs decision was leaked early,
right.
What he did, yes. He said, I'm going to go to the U.S. Marshals. They are terrific. They're wonderful. Yeah. They do many things. This is not their area of expertise. Who does this? The FBI does this. Mm-hmm. And why he didn't call them in and say, listen, I need to find out among the 60 people or so here, including members of our own court, who did this? Instead, he basically said, we can't find out who produced this. This was discoverable. You could have investigated this properly.
Yeah.
We could have found out exactly who did this. Limited number of people, limited event. I think the Chief Justice didn't want to have confirmation of who did this, especially since it may have been one of his own colleagues on the bench. And to this day, I think the fact that we just threw up our hands and said, we can't figure this out. No, the FBI is very good. They could have figured out exactly how this document got in the hands of Politico long before it was released.
Well, yeah, getting back to that federal emergency medical care statute, it says it ensures that a woman with no health risks of her own can demand emergency room treatment if her fetus is in peril. And I think what the conservative justices are saying is, well, that allows for no abortions. That's what they're saying here. Alito said this: at no point in its elaboration of the screening, stabilization, and transfer requirements in EMTALA, that's what they shorten it with, mention abortion. Just the opposite is true. EMTALA requires a hospital at every stage to protect an unborn child from harm. There is no mention of unborn child in this statute, as far as I know.
Right. Once again, it is, I think, for most people, a linguistic stretch, if you will, trying to read something into it or maybe out of the statute that just isn't supported by the language there. Thankfully, once again, it appears that six members of our court decided to do just that, give it the normal reading, and we'll probably get a decent decision when that is officially announced, maybe in a couple of minutes here.
You're right.
Jim, can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, 7:49. We'll be back with more with attorney Jim Santel on the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
We're talking law this morning.
Where's Perry Mason when we need him?
Yeah, Jim Santel is on the line with us, Amicus Law Review on
Even
Saturday
better.
Mornings,
yeah.
Giving a little bit of this legalese some context. And I just want to get back to the emergency room statute again. In this decision, Justice Kagan wrote for the majority saying it does not displace the hospital's duty to a woman whose life or health is in jeopardy. It doesn't do away with that. And a person who needs an abortion to stabilize her condition is one of the issues at large here. I mean, this is what it's dealing with. The abortion rights advocates worry that the conservative Supreme Court would like to read into this as fetal personhood and establish that once and for all. And if they put that in here, a lot of cases, IVF will be another issue that will come before the court, I'm sure, very soon. Right?
Right. And again, that would be an incredible stretch here. Again, if the what appears to be the dissent here gets its way at some point. And this is a part of a larger initiative. Regrettably, even inside our Supreme Court, the focus is one day to establish that life begins at conception. And this is that's basically what they're arguing for in the course of the dissenters' view here and the others who are supporting that particular petition. So thankfully, once again, you've got a majority here that looks at the language, looks at the intent of the law and says, no, those concepts are not here. This is about stabilizing. It is about ensuring the health, the welfare of the mother and requiring, once again, that entities that are taking Medicare, Medicaid, those kinds of things do, in fact, provide life supporting care for mothers. That's what this statute is about. I don't want to say it's nothing more than that, but that's a big deal.
It
but
is.
It's important for the court to focus on what it is and what it is not. And that's apparently what the decision we're going to get.
All right. Well, we want to kind of find out what might be coming up on the docket here that will be as controversial as the issues we've just talked about this morning.
Yeah. What about the presidential immunity case?
Right.
I mean, are there any hints at all that this is going to be decided one way or the other? Are they going to? Or can they just kick the can down the road?
Right. Yep. Right. So they've got two cases. The big one is the immunity case. Donald Trump coming and saying for presidents of the United States of America, both in office and presumably out of office as well, complete immunity. It's fairly clear from the oral argument that Supreme Court, for them, that's a bridge too far. They're not going to do that. But what was scary, as we talked before on your wonderful show, what is scary about the oral argument is you had people like the Chief Justice and Amy Coney Barrett entertaining the idea that maybe there's some middle ground here. There are things that a president might do in his or her personal capacity that might in fact be subject to criminal prosecution. But if you do official things, those would not be touched. And that is a notion that is, again, indefinable, as the Solicitor General said when he was responding to this. He said, this is an integrated conspiracy. You're engaging in official acts to accomplish an illegal personal end here. That's what these charges are all about. The concern is that maybe the Supreme Court's going to try to cut this in half and say, well, there may be some circumstances, stunningly, when a chief executive can get away with crimes here. And we're going to send this back to Tanya Chutkan for her to decide which is which. And I think the jurist right now who's the most fear in America is Tanya Chutkan, who, if she receives this order, has got this task on her desk then to do this impossible task. Mm-hmm. And will also muddy the waters, right? All they need to do is, they should do, is unanimously say, you know what, in two sentences, there's no such thing as immunity. The Court of Appeals got it right. Tanya Chutkan got it right. This is about the rule of law. No one is above the law, including the president. Goodbye. We're done. They could get this done in two sentences. And the fact that they're not doing it, it should be a source of great concern for all Americans.
Mm. Boy, that's so true.
Yeah, it's stunning. Actually.
Well, I don't know. I'm just... You mentioned that it muddies the water. It creates uncertainty in the legal community for almost everything at this point. And then it'll end up in court again, and a president will do something crazy or supposedly illegal or unconstitutional, and then it'll have to go through the court system again, and you never know what they're going to make a judgment on and how they'll exempt it.
Whatever they do, this will be precedential. This will be... not presidential, precedential, right? And again, down the road, even for legitimate acts of presidents, you're going to get attacked for it. And the argument is going to be before district courts, appellate courts, well, this falls on this line or that line of the Trump case. And instead of being clear about the fact that you can't be in the presidency and commit crimes, it does not only do that, but at the risk of sounding hyperbolic here on a beautiful Thursday morning here, the other issue is it really does sort of open up the possibility. I know people talk about this over the top, but of you know, this is the beginning of the end of the republic, right? Because you've got checks and balances on our branches. Here, you're basically saying, James Madison, you were wrong. The president can do virtually anything, and nobody can stop him or her from doing that. That is a complete refutation of all that we stand for 240 years. That's a discarding of a significant portion of our Constitution, Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, balances, checks and balances. And this is the reason why it's a very scary case, depending upon what the Supreme Court may do, again, later this morning, tomorrow, sometime very soon, for the future of our nation. It's just that important.
You know, one of the things that keeps coming up in the dissent, or at least on the liberal side, is that a lot of these decisions are temporary. They're open-ended because, you know, they always determine that somebody doesn't have standing in order to bring this argument, which opens that case up for another challenge somewhere down the line, right?
Absolutely. So we talked about the Mifepristone case, which was the other abortion case that the Supreme Court, there they decided, again, basically not to decide. They punted, as the three of us have discussed previously and your listeners engaged in as well. There they said, you know what, after all this, we've got the wrong plaintiffs here. And they're probably right about that. Mm-hmm. But it does open up and they send some signals that, you know, it may well be that if you get the right plaintiffs in this case, bring Mifepristone back, we'll then take a look at the merits of it. Right now, Mifepristone is legal. The FDA's decisions on this for a quarter century have been upheld. But the temporary nature of this just invites more litigation. May not happen in the next term, but could be the term after that. And again, it invites the sense of lack of clarity, not only for the legal people, but also for the medical community out there, right? In every state, doctors and medical providers can in fact use this drug and another to accomplish abortion safely. But it exposes them to the possibility that may not be the case in the future.
All right, Jim.
Jim Santel, we are out of time. But if something breaks between now and tomorrow, we want to have you back tomorrow.
If you can break away, 20 after, whatever, just pick a time, and we'd love to talk with you about those cases as well.
Thank you, Jim. So good to be with you once again, as always.
Yes, fantastic. Thank you for being there.
We are out of time. Have a great day. So long.
Remember how it ended?
Yeah, everything at the end blowed up.
Blowed up good.
Blowed up real good.
Real good.
Yeah.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Debate Day edition of The Devil's Advocates. We'll have Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Winkler and party at the Barrymore Theater. See you there.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 3 to 6.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.